Resurrected Republic Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to today's show, ladies and gentlemen. On with me today is a woman who I had the pleasure of speaking to until the late hours about all kinds of interesting things. Stephanie Carlisle is running for governor of the state of Nevada. So you folks out there in Nevada, you know your primary election is being held on June 12th, and the general election will take place on November 6th. Anyway, we got to speak on so many interesting things. So everybody knows that tunes into my show that I am a Ryan Bundy supporter, and that, of course, Steffi and I spoke about, too, because she's running for governor, but she's a Republican conservative, so any Republican conservative with the concept of freedom and liberty has a platform on my show anytime. I'm very impressed with this lady. I think that you guys should get to know her, and of course, I have ulterior motives, because I would like to see people like Stephanie and Ryan Bundy and people like that team up. So I just want to put it out there and be honest and candid about it. Welcome to the show, Steph.
Good morning. Well, actually, good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for having me and giving me a chance to introduce myself to your listeners.
Oh, it's my pleasure. There's so many different issues that I'd like to talk about and inform the citizens of Nevada and of what you stand for. First of all, we had a very long talk about your pro-Second Amendment stance. I think that that's a really good place to start off. We also had to talk about unalienable rights and the Second Amendment. So why don't you tell us where you stand on the Second Amendment?
Well, with the Second Amendment, I saw a lot of candidates kind of shying away from it when all the marches were occurring. And I feel as citizens, it's our responsibility to educate the young children, well, not children, educate young adults. And what we're doing is we're using them as pawns to push a narrative. And for me, I felt it was an opportunity to address them as young adults and kind of plant the seed 10 to 15 years from now, you're not going to be a young adult. You're going to have a family. And I think a lot of times we attack these young adults and we, instead of taking the opportunity to say, hey, let's have a discussion. And this is why we feel this way about our gun rights. And you're going to feel that the same way, too. And so, for me, I was trying to think back when I was a young adult, did I really care that much about gun rights? And they don't think that way. And so, for me, just about educating the youth, because they're going to be our voters. And right now, we see a lot of things being pushed, and it's not something that's going to benefit us in the future. So, for me, I'm a full 2A supporter. I feel we should have more of our gun rights given back to us, and they keep getting taken away little by little. And it's not just about, hey, let's take away bump stocks. As soon as they start taking away something small, it's a trickle effect, and we've already seen that with a lot of things.
Well, I agree with you there. I'm a kind of a strict constitutionalist. I always quote back to the words of Antonin Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, on a lot of these matters, and I'm a textualist. It was made clear a very long time ago that the Second Amendment actually doesn't give us anything, but it's a restriction upon government as to where they cannot go, and go they do. So, I mean, I think the most important position as a governor. And we've seen evidence of states nullifying federal law in a lot of areas, some that pose a national security risk, some that just infringe upon people's rights by the federal government. So there's a counterbalance to that argument. But I think that really important, and I want to, I keep telling people, like, you know, we had this conversation about the NRA, always saying, you know, your Second Amendment rights, your Second Amendment rights. Well, the Second Amendment, if they took the Second Amendment away tomorrow, it still does not negate the fact that your right to self-defense by a tool is not able to be removed from you. This was something that our founders called a pre-existing right that that existed prior to the compact ever being formed of the Constitution. This is one of the things that I really want to get across to our listeners and hopefully your constituents there, that they understand where their rights come from, which in our founder's opinion was the Creator. These are just inherent for those people that don't believe in God, inherent in your natural right to existence. You know, I'm a Christian myself, and I think faith is important. But for those that don't believe it, you know, this isn't just a concept of something that government. Whatever happened to the consent of the governed? Does that ever make you wonder?
That's the thing. You know, we look at the people we vote into office, and they're backed by so much money, and it's all basically set up. And I think if we work together and we get the right people in office, we can make some positive changes, and we can reverse course a little bit. We keep going into areas where we shouldn't be going into. And I'm a Christian myself, and I was raised, you work hard, you know, and you how do you explain this? You work hard and you earn what you get. And right now, you work hard and you give half of your money away to people who don't work hard. There's so many things I want to touch on, and, you know,
people
want to contact me. I mean, we can go on for hours about every little thing I want to touch on, but...
You know. We could, and that's fine by me. I want people to get to know you.
Perfect. So my main thing is, I had a rough upbringing, but that didn't make me who I am today. I think a lot of people, they take their background, and it could either be a negative thing or a positive thing. For me, I work hard, and I will always work hard and do my best to be a positive role model for others and my children. And for the state of Nevada, there's a lot of things I want to implement. There's a lot of things, a lot of people I want to represent that are being left in the shadows. Police officers are reaching out to me saying, hey, we wanted to endorse a candidate like you, but we're being forced to endorse somebody else that we don't agree with. And that's just basically how government works. You know, we're putting these politicians, they're playing musical chairs, and they're responsible for our failed education system, our state being billions of dollars in debt, crimes increasing by double digits in certain areas, and these people are asking us to vote them in again. And so I sit back and I watch this.
You got my attention on the police officers that are being forced to move towards another candidate. Forced by whom?
So basically, I was told that their representative was basically their representative who is I can't say this without getting someone in trouble. So they're endorsing a candidate. And instead of the police officers getting together and voting on the candidate they wanted to endorse, they're being told we're endorsing this candidate. And they're not agreeing with it, and they just basically have to go along with it. Because why would officers endorse someone that is against gun rights?
Well, by endorsement, I assume you mean, I don't know what's there.
Is
it the FOP, or is it the PBA, or what organization are they talking about giving their endorsement to? Because when you walk into the ballot box, you can pull whatever, you know. You vote for whoever
you
want.
It's just a basic endorsement, you know, from the police officers.
It sounds like the same thing that I heard with the sheriff out there in Las Vegas who claimed that he had the support of law enforcement. And many of the people within law enforcement said that was an outright lie. It's a false narrative that they put forward to make people think something that's not true. That shouldn't even be legal, I don't think, anyway. I don't know. That's just my opinion. Sorry, you got my attention on that one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's okay. And so, I also want to implement voter ID. Voter fraud, I know it's out in Nevada. And so I want to implement a voter ID, first ID free, so we don't have that excuse. People can't afford an ID. And that's on my website.
A lot of
people are asking for... Yeah, a lot of people want voter ID, and I don't, I think we should.
You know, that is such an excuse, because if you want to carry a firearm, which is a constitutionally restricted right on the government that they can't deny, they make all kinds of hoops and fees and permits, and nobody ever calls that now. The same crowd that says that all these gun toters are white racists, it's just insane. I have black friends, Asian friends, of all walks of life that are proud gun owners. But, you know, the narratives, that really disturbs me when we have to fight back against politically correct, which means false narrative that something is inherently racist. Any one of these young folks from when I was a kid, I didn't have two nickels to rub together. But I made sure that I had my driving license when I was 17 years old because, I mean, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. You just do all these little Mark's Eye buzz things that just drive me crazy.
No, it's funny because I think about it. Me growing up, I didn't have, the best upbringing. But, we grew up in a car in tents, homeless. And I came from that. And I worked, ever since I was able to work, I worked. And I was able to get my license at 18. It just, there's jobs out there. You work as many as you can when you're young. And you make yourself, you just keep working. And there's no excuse for you to say that you cannot afford an ID that costs $25 when you have a $300 cell phone. So
yeah,
for us
I can agree with you there. Or Nike and PlayStation.
I think about these politicians and these programs that we have, and they're not being audited. And so much of our money is being thrown into programs we don't even know exist. And we're taking money from retirement, from police officers, from firemen, from schools. We're taking money from all these places that should, deserve it. We have a foundation we need to upkeep, and we're throwing money at programs that shouldn't even be around.
Just like
kids,
I agree with you.
So my main thing is the first ID for free, so we can eliminate that excuse. Kids, when they're 17, they get their ID, not a driver's license. They get their ID, they can go vote. And that's that. Makes it simple.
Yeah, well, that sounds reasonable. I mean, free. I like them to work for it. But, again, I have a whole issue. I'm like hardcore non-permissionalist. Freedom, the definition of freedom, this blows most people away when they say, freedom. Freedom means unregulated and unrestricted. Think about that, and then think about the state of affairs in Washington, D.C.
Exactly.
Oh, but anyway, so I get your point on that. That's a good thing. Now, you had some ideas on the economy that I thought were interesting. You want to talk to us about that?
Well, I mentioned the lotto. Is that the?
I think that's one aspect of it that I was reading into that you had mentioned.
Yeah, I want to mention the lotto because the Supreme Court actually just had a decision. Well, made a decision to allow sports gambling in all 50 states. So that, for the state of Nevada, is going to take away from us, of course, because our sports books and the casinos. And so before this even occurred, I did mention attaching the lotto to our sports books license. That way it'll generate more revenue for the casinos and for the state. And now they just made that decision, the Supreme Court, for all 50 states to legalize it, sports gambling. So a couple of casinos have reached out to me stating that they are want to hear more because they know that that's going to take away from their revenue. So that'll add to our economy. Also, I want to repeal the commerce tax. I think that was a horrible idea. And we'll replace the lost revenue from the commerce tax with the lotto and the marijuana tax that was supposed to go towards education.
Yeah, the marijuana situation there. How do you? I mean, I'm a little bit more paleoconservative, libertarianish when it comes to freedom and things like that. I know a lot of hardcore Republicans are still caught up in this war on drugs business. I of course there's drugs that need to be combated, such as methamphetamine and cocaine. There's no question about that to me. But when it comes to natural medicinal plants and things like that, how do you feel about that?
Well, here's the deal. You know, I think about my personal belief, and then I think about all the people I'm representing. Now, everybody that I'm representing, they voted marijuana to go through for Nevada. Now, it's not my responsibility to go in there and say, you know what, I know you all voted for this, but I'm going to take it away. I'm not going to do that. Personally, I'm against drugs. If it's helping someone medically, that's their decision. You know, if my child, you know, tried all this medication to, you know, help himself with an illness and marijuana helped, then, hey, I'm going to give my child whatever I need to give them, my child, to make them better. I think it's up to the adult and the parents. But for me, it was voted in for our state, so I'm going to back the people of our state. Me personally, though, I'm not big with drugs. I'm actually, you know, I like to stay away from all that. But the people in Nevada voted for tax purposes, mostly. And so that tax revenue that we thought was going to go to schools is actually going in a rainy day fund. So if I get elected, we're going to do a massive audit and find out where all of our money is being thrown away at, and then we're going to put it where it was supposed to go.
Oh, my team, we can help with that. We're good at following the money.
and you know, the thing is, you know, I come from a business background. I'm a natural leader. I've done it my whole life. And a lot of leaders, they think that they could do it all on their own. That's not how I work. I get the strongest people. And I try and get a team together. Like I was telling you the other night, I will pick your brain and I will let you tell me all that you know just so I can educate myself more. I think strong leaders, they circle themselves with people who are strong in their own aspects. You know, there's people who are strong with communication. There's people who are strong with connecting with people, with math, with history. You know, bring them all together and let's work on some plans. And if you're good at audits, I'm going to bring you into audit. I want to know, I want good, honest people taking care of our state.
Well, that certainly sounds like the plan to go by. You know, I know that you're somebody who's have some pretty strong feelings on education, too. And, you know, this was one of the things that it touches back into gun control and what we saw happen in Parkland, which was, a real tragedy, absolute tragedy. But the Conservative Treehouse, which is a publication, my Lori Anderson and I, we were doing a investigation into essentially following the money as to, what these schools were. I mean, if they're not providing safety, what exactly was going on? And we came across a program. It was called the Promise Grant Program, which was a federal grant that gave these school districts through the sheriff and the SROs, it incentivized them reducing the school to prison pipeline. But get this, for marginalized, there's that Marxist buzzword again, for marginalized students, not for all students, but for marginalized students, which is in Miami-Dade, we saw they were raking in the dollars. All of this money was coming in, and it appeared that the stats for crime were being lowered amongst the young folks. But when in fact, what was really happening was that they were suppressing the crime stats. They were not making arrests. They were, if they caught somebody with something, they would take it into evidence, log it into evidence, and not report the crime. And you fast forward to Parkland, you have this Nicholas Cruz who had 40-some contacts with law enforcement, three of which could be argued very easily were felonious, that were not acted upon. And, you know, as soon as I started publishing information on this Promise Grant program in relation to the Parkland tragedy, my YouTube channel got canceled, terminated. Isn't that interesting? Now, this is something that's really affecting us. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. But just percolate on that for a moment. Folks, we'll be right back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Stephanie Carlisle for Nevada Governor. Everything you earn by breaking your backs. We're going to redistribute when we make our big tax. Hey, sit down. Don't be a jerk.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, Tom Lacabara Stewart here with Stephanie Carlisle, who's running for governor of Nevada. What we were talking about before we went to break was something that you may or may not be aware of, and don't feel bad if you're not, because this has been seriously suppressed, and it affects education in a very big way across America. This Promise Grant program that was an Obama era plan, the conservative treehouse spent about 18 months in from 2012 to 2014 investigating the Broward Miami-Dade school policies, and found huge amounts of cash. What ended up happening, as I told you, is the suppression of crime stats. I'm not just making allegations. These aren't conspiracy theories. There were officers that came forward that gave testimony as to this behavior. And on rtrtruthmedia.blogspot.com, I'll send you over the article with all of the affidavits from at least five different officers. It's corruption and crime to the umpteenth. And when you follow this program, and this is one of the reasons why I say to people, be careful when you say we need a law that, or we need a program that, because all of the flowery words, like, you know, who doesn't want to stop kids from going from school to prison, right? I mean, I don't want kids to go from school to prison, right? So it sounds like a great program, but when you implement these things nationwide, you see patterns of abuse, and that's the Sheriff Scott Israel. They were trying to deflect all of the information. It became the NRA was the boogeyman, and the gun was the boogeyman, and not the absolute corruption and failure of this sheriff to do his due diligence, his duty to represent his constituents. So, and the reason why I bring that up is because as governor, you're going to be overseeing a lot of this money, this federal money coming in. And I just wanted to urge you, be careful what you accept, because there's always strings attached. And it can be really, I wish that more of these kids would be aware that they're being so used. Well, you and I both know they're being used as pawns, but they're
correct.
Being
yeah,
used
and you
as,
know, oh, like, when you're talking about that program, I wasn't aware of that program, but I have talked to teachers that have told me that they're not allowed to report certain things because it'll look bad on their school. Just like police officers, they try and change the type of crime to where they don't report a more.
Now you know why.
Yeah, they're just trying to make the numbers look good in certain areas, in certain schools, and that's the problem. We keep looking at things from we're manipulating things versus telling the truth.
Right.
Now, if something bad happens, the student's acting up, they get punished. I'm sorry, I was raised. You act up, you get that spanking, or you get some form of punishment, and it's not just take away their electronics. And these children aren't being raised with that
please
hate.
Do.
I heard a please do from somebody there. Was that Texas 101?
Yes, please take their electronics away.
This is my one of my co-hosts, Texas 101, otherwise known as Lori. We were going to get into a little bit of the education. I asked her to join us because she had some she had some interesting insights into the charter schools and how the schools, because she was very involved in Katy, Texas, which we see now blowing up in national media. Finally, there's some exposure there. So I tell you what, for the education segment here, how about if I turn it over to you, Lori and Stephanie, and you guys can have it out on that, because that's my weaker area.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, how do you feel about the student data collection, and are you aware of the student data collection?
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? I want to make sure I'm understanding
In many of the programs that we have through the federal, with the federal monies that come through the school, and there's numerous programs, as well as numerous IT programs that collect data on our children. Now, with the COPPA law was from, I believe, 1988. It states that a child on the internet is a minor under the age of 13. So most of the school districts start our children out in junior high going on to textbookless programs. With these textbookless programs, they have a touchy-feely program to see how children feel about things, what they think about things, and not educating them on the facts. During this, they'll take data on the family. I believe there's over 300,000 data points. And one of our gentlemen in Texas has gotten our district's data points. Now, on these 300,000 data points they're collecting, they're putting a profile up on your child. And what that does is they're now saying, okay, this child will be great for, you know, going to college and being a professional and being an accountant. This child will be great for being a mechanic. They're mechanically inclined, or this child is great for being an engineer. This is how Russia was when I was growing up, and what we fought so hard for in the United States so that we had freedom for our children to choose. And we're going into a break, so I'll finish this on the other side of the break.
We'll be right back, folks. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio broadcast with Stephanie Carlisle for Nevada Governor.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast on RBN with Stephanie Carlisle, who's running for Nevada governor, a Republican candidate, conservative Christian, pro-Second Amendment, pro-common sense, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, the discussion was going on about education, schools, and Stephanie, you'll have to forgive us. We have been delving into these areas very methodically for a very long time, and I appreciate very much that that you want to reach out to people that have information and make judgments for yourself. That to me is refreshing, and that is what we should seek in people who are running for office. So I'm going to turn this back over to you and to Lori and have at it again.
And Stephanie,
and Lori, you mentioned
Yes. Go ahead.
On our kids. My oldest is 8, so I haven't seen that yet. But is this something that parents are opting in to do, or is it just passed across the board?
They don't know they have the option to consent or not to consent. Basically, I'm going to kind of go a little bit longer to answer that question. When you go into the data and you've got those 3,000 data points and they start right around the ages of 13, right about 7th grade, they're selling that data, which is more funds coming in, and that looks really good. I mean, you were talking about having funds and being able to be self-supported. Well, the key thing with that is the parents don't know where that data is going because it's being sold to these software companies. It can be sold to just about any company once it gets past that software company. You don't have control over that data. This is where you've seen, you know, some of the Social Security numbers released, parent information released, phone numbers released. This is where the leaks are coming from, and it's not protecting the students.
Now, Lori, just a real quick question. Wasn't one of these corporations called Pearson?
Yes, Pearson was very big into this, and this is a UK company. A lot of this data collection, where I'm going with this, is sometimes it looks good to take the data. It's not really that great. The parents cannot opt out when they are considered an adult and a teacher signs them up on the internet for a program to access it, because now they're an adult on the computer. This is where parents are losing some of their parental rights in the school systems. We need to, one, make that national law, the COPPA laws, 18 or 17, something a little bit different where the parents have some control and can go out and take care of business. The reason for that, if you need to access, say something bad happens to your child, you need to access what they've been doing on the computer, you literally have to go to the Department of Justice, sometimes to get a subpoena through treaties to another country. Right now, they're keeping most of the software companies inside the U.S. But if it goes out of your state and out of your country, it gets a little bit more difficult. You're dealing with treaties then now on the technology. So this is something that most politicians don't know, aren't aware of, and don't really look at when they're making those decisions to take those federal dollars. And it gets much deeper. I'm just scraping the surface on this. The technology also... Go ahead.
No, I think like you're correct. A lot of people, they take the money and then this will be great because it's funding something else. I wouldn't be okay with data being collected on my child. You test our children to see how much they learn, and then you move on to their next subject. You don't test our children on their buying habits or the data collection. I think that's ridiculous. 18, that makes more sense, like you said. But I wouldn't be in favor of collecting this for corporations to be able to manipulate our children in the future. That's what it's leading to.
Right. And I would suggest you speak to a lady. Her name is Anita Hogue, H-O-G-E. She has done a lot of research, and it's not just her. She has many people that she's connected with that if you have a certain area that you're looking at, she can give you the conservative view. And I would also suggest that you look at the Democrat side, because they were on to the exact same thing that the Republicans are. Sometimes they have a little bit of a different twist, but the Democrats and the Republicans, from what I've seen in the last few years, are pretty much going down the same path. The difference is when you get to school choice. School choice is where I believe, and this is just my opinion, I believe that's where our politicians that are elected and they have duties under their constitution and their codes, in Texas it's the education code, they're selling their duties to other companies. For example, they have to listen to the people, and that's why we have a certain amount of time in our school district and school board meetings to speak to the board. The board is now, in Katy, selling their duty to listen to the people to another company, and they will have meetings and then give a one or two page, based on the Delphi technique, one or two page synopsis of what the community is saying. Maybe 8-10 hours of meetings, down to 1-2 pages, saying, this is what we think you need to do. And the board members will not attend. So they don't hear the people. They don't know what the company is doing. And it's privatizing the people's voice. So what they're doing is they're selling the people's voice. If you go to a charter school or a private school, they do not have to go under the Texas Education Code or have to go by the things such as anything that the federal government may have said that's positive or negative. They are not under the Constitution. They do not have to guarantee parental rights. They have a board that does not have any governmental regulations or duties that are put upon them, and they operate as a private school. So you may have a board of 7 people that say, okay, today we're no longer going to allow you to wear the color green to our school ever again. A parent goes out and it's St. Patrick's Day and they send their child to school wearing green and they're kicked out of school for wearing green. I know that's kind of silly, but I'd rather keep it not political. So when you try to privatize or do the charter school, what you're doing is you're selling the duties of our public school districts.
No, I'll take that yeah. political just for a second. This is where we saw some of these students being kicked out of schools for wearing Make America Great Again hats. Just saying.
Right.
Go ahead. I just had to butt in there for a second.
When you privatize, what you're doing is you're selling the duties that the state, local, city, federal government has been given to a private company, and you're privatizing the government. When you do that, we had an infamous sheriff down in Harris County. The only good thing I ever saw the sheriff do was they tried to privatize the prisons, and he said, no, I will not do that, because then the prisoners will not have constitutional rights. So you're doing the same thing with our children. You're privatizing. You're going outside of how the system was set up. It may sound great. You may think you're going to make a lot of money. You may think it's going to be a better education. Clean up what you have and stop putting so many requirements on our children. Quit putting so many requirements on our teachers. Reading, writing, and arithmetic should be basic. Your sports, they may bring in some money, but they don't educate your children so that you're bringing in the future, looking long term, it's not bringing educated population to your state. You can have all the football players you
want. I agree with you on both aspects, but here's where we differ a little bit. I have two children, well, I have four total, but two were in school. My oldest is 8, highly gifted child, and we've been through public school, charter school, and private school. And so we've had a little bit of background on all of it because we wanted to help him because he's so advanced. And when he was in public school, there's a really great empowerment school that he went to, and they allowed him to go to a higher grade class just because he was so advanced. And we pulled him out because a private school said, we'll give him the full scholarship. So he went over there. Great school. They enforced the Constitution. They were very, very good private school, but they weren't as open to advance him in certain areas. So we pulled him out. We went to a charter school, and, you know, it was all right. But the one thing that I could say about between public school and private schools is the private school was more, it seemed like they were more in favor, just from the ones we went to. It could be different in other ones, but they were more in favor of doing the Pledge of Allegiance, being more patriotic than the public school. It seemed like the public school was shying away from it a little bit. Maybe it's the one we went to. But I think it's all in different areas, and I'm all for, let's get back to the basics. We keep saying school choice. I'm all for school choice because I don't think parents should have to be locked into a school. If I'm not able, I had to move several times just to get my son into certain schools to see what would benefit him. And I don't think you should have to do that.
No, you shouldn't have to do that.
Oh, wait. I know where you're going, but I'm going to tell you an example on the opposite end of that spectrum. I went to see Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick speak on education. And he had a scenario where each district was going to be specialized in a certain thing for, you know, one engineering. And this is where education's going. One engineering, one nursing, and, say, one restaurant. You have three children. There's usually just two parents. I'm talking about the nuclear family. There's usually two parents. He specifically made this statement. Your child will be able to decide where they go. So if you have two parents and three children, who's going to raise that third child? This is where education is going, where the schools will be raising your children. And it is going to that. It's not a conspiracy theory. These are facts. These are the things that they're presenting to the people and to the politicians.
Well, it is. The schools are raising our children. Look at all the marches that they're allowing kids
right.
to leave school and march for gun control. And they are raising our children. And it's because parents are either opting out of that parenthood role, or they're working three jobs, or, you know,
they're
or
being pushed out.
Parents.
Right.
Yeah, but for me, no one's pushing me out of my child's education, and that's where my oldest son. We moved several times. We do everything for our children's education and our children, and
I hope that
the parents would adopt that.
I have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. When you're a politician.
Okay.
Just by the nature of what you're doing, you see things a little bit cleaner and a little nicer. People tend to give you a little bit more leeway. And that's not your fault. That just happens naturally. That's the way life works. The same thing is, there's a lot of parents that try these things and they cannot get anywhere. They cannot move. They cannot do these things. They do not have the opportunity. When you're a politician, the one thing you need to really remember, and it's hard for me when I go and talk to a politician, is I can't sit and talk about my experience all the time. I can't go off my experience. A politician has duties and legislation they have to go by. And when I hear politicians say, well, this happens to me, or this, and the same thing with anyone active in politics, it's not what is going on with us or what we can and cannot do ourselves. It's what are those duties and what are those legislations holding us up to either be able to do or to keep us back from doing. And right. That's what we're having the people, a huge problem with politicians, is they're not hearing us say, this legislation and your duties are not being done. Not you specifically, but you, and the person that they're talking to. You, the person they're talking to. For example, our Texas school board. They have a duty to hear the people, yet they're selling it. They have been given a duty of certain goals that they must meet for education, and they're selling those goals, and the points that they need to make, and their plans are coming from private companies. They're not coming from the people. They're selling them to the private, and the people don't have control over what they sell. They've taken that role of the trustee, is what we have in our school district. They're taking that role of a trustee, and they're giving their duties over to private companies, private people, private software companies. They even have a policy in the state of Texas in school districts where it says the superintendent of the school can decide if it's a private company coming in to look at their programs. They can say that that person, for the sake of privacy, is an employee of that school district. Superintendent can do this around the board. Board gave their duty away of saying who could see the school's assets of the data, and the superintendent can go in and say, this is who, this technology person, we don't even know and haven't run a background check on, is now a employee or considered as an employee, air hockey stick considered as an employee, and they can go in and look at all our data and use it as an employee, and then go back to their company. Now, that's absolutely something that the politicians have fallen down on and said, okay, anybody can really, at the superintendent's whim, go in and look at our student data. And then he can just say, oh, you don't work for us anymore. That's literally a policy. So the school board is sitting there.
With that, I would say we would have to implement something where the children have to be 18 because they're not adults when they're 13.
Right.
And that's something I'd be all for backing, because we're not trying to make corporations happy. We're trying to build a community, a strong community of people who are trying to do the right thing and take care of Nevada. And I'm not trying to take care of corporations, so I would be open to making that 18. And I wouldn't take any federal money otherwise. I'm not for that.
Amen on that, too.
You're going to be pressured into it. I'm going to be realistic with you. You're going to be pressured into a lot of it. Because it's going to be hard operating without some of the federal funds.
I know what you're saying, and I understand. But the thing is, I'm not trying to be a career politician. I could care less what the other politicians think of me. It's funny because I go into these events, these luncheons, and I look at these politicians that say one thing to us, and now they're coming back and saying another thing, basically lying to our face again. And I could never say something to someone and then go in a room and address the same people that I said, hey, I'm going to vote for this, or I'm going to be for 18-year-olds only for data collection, because I would be fully on board with that, and then go back and say, sorry, I folded because I wanted federal money. And I know that we need money for certain programs, but I'm going to look at it as this is our state. We have a budget. There's programs that we can't afford, and we're not going to keep them. I'm sorry. There's programs that we need. We're going to keep them. We're going to be responsible. And I think the audits are going to show that a lot of money is being wasted, and we won't need certain money. We won't need a lot of money for certain things. And I'm not going to be the one that says I'm going to do this and not do this, because I have people that I'm going to be accountable to, the people of Nevada. You know, right. That's just how I am as a person. I don't want to go back on my word.
Well, I hope whoever you choose with your education department looks at both sides of the aisle and in the middle and gets you educated when these decisions and signing these bills comes before you, because there's a lot of little integral parts that we need to know.
And I have a feeling that Stephanie would be open to independent citizens panels and providing her reports and information, and I'm sure that she would review many of the things. This is one of the things that impressed me so much, was that how open you are to receive information from folks that have really investigated these matters and to consider them, which is a very hard thing to find in a lot of politicians these days. They get all politically correct, and they have their speeches, they have their prepared monologue, and I don't find that with you, and that is refreshing.
Thank you. And I am open for getting people together, and Lori, I respect all the information you've given me, and I would be open to get all sides, charter schools, public schools, private. We need to come together and find a way to benefit our students, not our corporations, not special interests. I mean, our kids are going to take over, and we can't have, we can't have all our future children selling out every chance they get. And that's what we're teaching them.
Absolutely. And just know that both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, are doing very strong research on this, and they're very unhappy with what they're seeing. I can work hand in hand with a Democrat on these issues in most cases. And I would encourage
Democrats, meaning people, not necessarily politicians, but yeah.
Oh, absolutely politicians. Some of the politicians absolutely are onto this and what's going on. It's just the private money and the federal funds are coming in and speaking a little bit louder than the people. So just know that both sides of the aisle are actually active in this. It's an agenda that's coming at us. It's been coming at us for a long time. It's very scary. And I'm not going to get into conspiratorial things with you, because that's just, it's not going to help us. I hope you take a chance to look at whoever you choose in your education department, that you ask them to take a look at some of the people that have been very active, that they may consider air hockey sticks in the field as the conspiracy theorists. Look at their research, see what they have to say. You don't have to have them come and go before the state house. Just listen to them, just see what they're into, mm-hmm. see what they're seeing. That's what I ask of you for your education.
Alice Linehan and Anita Hoag. I'll send you over an email with their links.
Thank you,
Stephanie. And I think that those are, especially Anita Hoag, both of them really are of our mindset, a more conservative mindset. But still, besides that, they're more interested in the well-being of the children. And, man, they've done their homework. So I'll make sure that you get those links.
Thank you. And you talk about conspiracy theory. since I've been running, I've had a lot of things hacked. I've had a lot of things happen to me. So I'm all for the conspiracy theory.
Since we're talking about education, the people that throw that word around need to know what the definition is and how to consider it one. Because until you have your judge say that it's conspiracy theory, it's not one. So the key thing that I'm seeing with a lot of the politician and those throwing the words around is they need to be educated themselves on what they're actually saying. So it's kind of a oxymoron for morons there that they throw around. But it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you,
Lori. And feel free to contact me anytime, okay?
Thank you.
Part of this that has been coming upon us is it's by design, too. It's a Prussian school system that the United States adopted a long time ago. I remember speaking to Charlotte Iserby, who wrote a book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. She was President Reagan's education secretary. And she sat back and basically noticed and took this to President Reagan. She said, "Do you realize that we have a fascistic setup?" And this was way back, and she was letting people know that this corporate involvement into our schools on a national level was nothing our founders ever intended for education in America. It's indoctrination, not education. But so I'm really glad that you're receptive on that kind of stuff. So anyway, we've covered education now. How about energy? You have some ideas about energy that could help Nevada quite a bit too, don't you?
Well, yeah. So for, I'm not understanding why we're not 100% solar, but I'm open to any ideas of clean energy. I of course don't want to cost the state more money. I know Yucca Mountain's been a topic, but for me, whatever we can implement to where it saves Nevadans more money, because I want to do what's best for Nevadans. I could care less about everybody else right now. Sorry, Texas. But I'm concerned about the people of Nevada. Our energy bills are through the roof. I want to help with some of that. If that means turning everything solar, that means turning everything solar. I know we are bumping heads with Nevada Energy right now. We need to figure out something, not just give the big corporation their cut and move on. So I'm open to ideas. I do want to get a round table and, pros and cons of each and see what we can do.
Well, I think, the whole idea of going solar is a really great idea to me. I mean, I've used solar myself at times, but I hear from people out in California and Nevada and other places where, it seems like these city councils are implementing, and this used to be a conspiracy theory, but is no more. It's been completely revealed, is the Agenda 21 agenda, right? So while on the one hand you have people talking about sustainability, at the other hand you have these bureaucratic boards and zoning commissions that when you try and say implement your own solar, or you try and go off grid, or you try and plant your own, it used to be called Victory Gardens in the 40s, and it was, it was encouraged, right? The zoning, they come in and it's just, they make it a quagmire and a nightmare of these bureaucratic boards. And I think that what we're finding out is that a lot of these people have nefarious funding sources and shadowy individuals behind them making this happen. This is happening all over Nevada, Arizona, California. It's really hitting the western states pretty hard. I would like to see people incentivized into being able to become self-sufficient. Isn't that what every American should aspire to be, is self-sufficient?
Of course, and that's the problem. They're not seeing where they could benefit money-wise. If everybody gets on solar, where is the big corporation going to make their money?
Yeah,
and
tough.
So, it's a tough one, and that's where people fell out. We elect people, and they don't represent us the way we ask them to.
So you're telling me big energy can't buy you, right, Stephanie?
100%. I've already tried to be bought a couple times since I've been running.
All right. We got to go into another break. That is refreshing. We'll be back, folks, in a few minutes after a few words from our sponsors with Stephanie Carlisle for Nevada Governor. Resurrect the Republic. We'll be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.